Hello, folks. Sean Mice here, and in today's training, I've titled this How to Design a Winning Business. And what I'll do today is share with you a model that you can use in building your business such that you're going to design what we're going to call a winning business. You're going to design a business that is going to allow you to build something that is customer-centric. And what that means is that you're going to build your business in such a way that your business is going to be designed for your customers in such a way that your customers, your clients, will be able to get the highest maximum value out of whatever it is that you're teaching, whether it's through your coaching program, through your membership, through the products that you have. So much of the time, in the information industry and in a lot of my own training, we make an effort to streamline the training in such a way that we can make it really easy for you to implement things in your business. And so sometimes we make generic statements like, create 3 products and a coaching program. You know, somebody else might be partial to a membership, and they may say, create 2 products and a membership. You may often hear me say, we really want to prioritize a coaching program, and then you want to create a few products. And sometimes what we'll do is, and we get the question a lot, hey, how do we price this? What's the best pricing? And sometimes it's really easy for us to say, well, 3 of the price points we found that really work well in a stair-step funnel are, $97, $497, and $997, for example. But what really tends to happen is that the for example sort of gets buried in the whole thing, and we spend so much time trying to kind of put together what we'll call an ideal funnel, one that'll work for everybody. That sometimes we miss out a little on what do your customers need? And so today, that's the direction that I really want to take this. And I want you to be able to look at building your business from the perspective of what do my customers need? What's the very best thing, and what's the way in which I can deliver maximum value in my niche? How can I be the very best at delivering maximum value in my niche and focus on delivering this maximum value in a way and in such a way that you deliver whatever it is that someone wants in such a way that they are therefore willing to exchange with you their money? So we'll talk about money for just a moment, and we'll kind of get into this model. As I've just shared with you, so often in the information business world, we think about this ideal sales funnel. We think about, hey, how can we create products, or what's the perfect product to create, or what's the easiest membership to create, or what's the best way to create a coaching program? And we come up with these models that tend to work really, really well. But if you box yourself into one of those models, rather than looking at the best way to deliver whatever it is that you're delivering in terms of information, a lot of times you don't build what really is that best business. And if you don't build that best business, so often you're fighting against the competition. Maybe they are building a best business. You're trying to make one that is, just fits into a certain model. Instead, if you'll focus on building a best business, then focus on simplifying it as best as possible, you'll create what literally becomes your own model instead of simply duplicating or copying someone else's model. But let's talk about money for just a moment. So often in the information world, you have a great idea. You want to be able to change the world by something specific that you're going to teach folks in your industry, that you're going to teach folks in your world. You have something specific that you're able to give that's going to be able to improve their life. And you start there, and I even want to take this farther than you mean well, but it's not just that you mean well, you really want to change things, but then you kind of get down to the nitty-gritty and you say, hey, if I'm going to work full-time at this, I've got to make a full-time living to do it. And as soon as that thought happens, a lot of times we begin to just focus on the money. when we focus on just the money and we say, okay, we need to make this amount of money, we need this many clients, they need to pay this much, we end up thinking about, okay, this is the price that people need to pay in order for me to be in business so I can change their lives. And a lot of times when we start with the price, we start and then we say, okay, well, what do we have to give people in order to get them to pay that? So maybe you experience that kind of a thought process that goes on in your mind. And if you have, it's a pretty common thought process. And I've thought that process before and others have thought it. You know, but what if we were to turn this thing on its ear? And what if we were to say, okay, what do my customers need to change their life? What do I need to deliver to my clients, to my customers, so that when they assimilate the material, their life will be changed? What do I need to give them in exchange for their money? But even before we get to the exchange of the money, in order for that client to be able to get maximum results, what do I need to give them? And once we've laid all of that out, then we can think about, okay, what is it worth to someone to be able to have all of this? What's a fair price for me to put on this so that someone is able to have all of this particular training? We can think of funnels exactly the same way. Instead of thinking of funnels from a perspective of, okay, I have to have three products and they have to be priced like this, what if we were to instead start with the proposition that said, what is the very first thing a client needs when they're exposed to me? What is the very first thing that a client needs when he or she is exposed to me? Okay, great. We lay that out and we say, okay, what's a fair price for this? Maybe that price is $97. Then, instead of saying, okay, we've got to kind of move this ladder up, the next item has to have this other price, instead, what if we were to say, okay, if someone totally assimilates this, maybe we have 100 buyers at this level, we go back to them and we say, okay, what do you need next? What are you still missing? What do you need more of? Do you need a membership access? Do you need coaching? Whatever it is. And then we design whatever that next thing is based on what that next need is. Then we're able to look back at it and we're able to say, okay, what's a fair price for this? Maybe it's $197 a month for membership access, or maybe it's $397 for coaching access, or whatever the case is. That way our stair-step funnel is created based on the needs that we are meeting rather than some arbitrary decision that we're making based on the pricing that we think that we have to have in place. One more thing about money. I think that sometimes in this industry, it's easy to get to the place where we think, okay, we need to make this money, so what do I have to do to make it? Or what do I have to create in order to make that? But let's just talk about money for just a moment. You see, when we get paid for something, all we're getting, all that payment is an exchange of money for whatever our services are. So folks that are purchasing from you are not giving you money just because they have fun giving away money. In fact, they're not even giving you the money. They are exchanging the money with you for that something that is of value. They're expecting to get some level of value from you, from what you're exchanging with them. They're expecting to get this certain level of value in the exchange with you. Okay, so when we're thinking along the lines of this exchange of value, now we begin to get into kind of a competitive place, and we ask ourselves, I believe that we need to ask ourselves, is what we're providing, is it not only a good exchange of value, but is it also something that they can't get somewhere else? So a lot of times I have folks come to me and they ask me the question, why do I need to create a training program that is the best in the marketplace? order to compete. There's lots of people out there making money in my particular niche that are not the best in the marketplace, and I just want to be like everybody else. And, you know, I've wrestled with this issue a lot. I'll be honest with you. I wrestled with this issue a lot because folks make an incredibly persuading argument that they can get by just being like everybody else. You know, and if your competition is, let's say, making $100,000 a year, you've got five competitors each making $100,000 a year selling in this market, it's really easy, in my opinion, it's really, really easy to look at that and say, okay, well, I just want a piece of that pie. I'm going to come in, I just want to take a piece of the pie, I want to just do things just like everybody else, and I'm okay with that. I just want to make this $50,000, I just want to make this $50,000, and what do I have to do to make that happen? And the problem with this is, let me just kind of talk about the persuasive argument. Your folks will make this persuasive argument, and I'll be honest, it's really easy for me to get carried away with that and say, well, you know, you're right. You're right. You can just be like everybody else and make your $50,000 or whatever, and if that's what you want to do from home, there's nothing wrong with that. It's really easy for me to place a stamp of approval on that because, in theory, that makes a lot of sense. But when it comes to the real world, I believe you've got to recognize that your five competitors have already been in the market for 5 to 10 years. They know what works. They're doing what they believe to be their best to capture that part of the market. And so if you come in and you're just like them, and you just say, I'm just going to create another product that is just like them, or I'm going to create a coaching program that's just like theirs, then why should anybody do business with you, who's only been in business for 30 days or 90 days, when these other companies have been in business for a long time, teaching the same thing that you're teaching? And so then some folks will say, well, you know, I could just charge a lower price and put everybody out of business. The problem with charging a lower price is the only reason someone then comes to you instead of your competition is because you are cheaper. And if the only reason that they're coming to you is because you're cheaper, their value proposition isn't on whatever it is that they want to learn. And so what happens a lot of times, if you're the lowest price leader in your market, you're not getting the best clients. You're getting the cast-off clients. You're getting the clients the other people don't want. You're getting the clients that maybe, you know, aren't willing to study or work as hard, and so they're not willing to pay that higher price with somebody else. And so I don't want to go into any more depth on the pricing issue, but it's a slippery slope. I mean, it is just a slippery slope that you run down when you say, okay, I'm just going to build my business by being cheaper than everybody else. So if we've eliminated this idea of being equal to everybody else, we've eliminated this idea of being cheaper than anybody else, then if we're going to break into a new market, what do we need to do? I believe we've got to be better than everybody else. I really do. I believe we've got to be better than everybody else. And folks, by the way, I think that this goes far beyond the information marketing industry. I think if you look around the world today, you know, we're seeing an upheaval in businesses. Some businesses are going out of business. Some businesses have priced themselves out of business on the low end. What we're seeing, though, if you look close, I think what you're seeing is that the businesses that are excelling in today's marketplace, they may be competing in the same market, but they're doing things better or different than their competition. And I don't believe that the Internet's any different. And so I believe that in order for you to create a winning business, your mindset has to be that of, I'm going to be better than the competition. I am going to be better than everybody else. Now, if you're going to be better than everybody else, if you're going to deliver better training, you're going to deliver more complete training, you're going to deliver more up-to-date training, whatever it is, if you're better than everybody else, what does that mean? It means in your market, you're the best. It means that you're the best. If I've made a logical case so far that I believe that to be able to compete in today's marketplace and be able to trustingly build a trust that you're going to be able to build a solid business, I believe that you have to be better than everybody else, which is the best. I really believe that you must be the very best at what you do for whatever your sub-niche is, for whatever market space that you're in. I genuinely believe that you must be the best and that you must position yourself as the best. One more argument that I hear sometimes, and I'm sharing these arguments with you because I don't want you to get sidetracked by one of these arguments. I don't want you to hear me speaking today and then think, okay, well, I have a special case, a special scenario, and what Sean's saying does not apply to me. And by the way, I'm giving you the three biggest arguments here. There may be more that are popping into your mind. I wish that you would just trust me in that your market is not different. Your market is not different. That if you want to truly be able to write your own ticket to having a great business, I really genuinely believe you've got to shift to this place where you say, I'm genuinely want to be and I'm genuinely going to be the best. Okay, now, I'm going to go back to, and this is really just another, I call it another argument, but it's really just another fork in an earlier argument of this idea that, you know, other people are doing it, so, you know, why can't I? Somebody else did it last year, so why can't I? Well, that's kind of how the lottery is. Okay, you know, every once in a while there's a $10 million state lottery or there's a $300 million multi-state lottery. And somebody won $300 million last year. So the truth of the matter is people do win lotteries. And maybe next week somebody's going to win a lottery. But the odds, even if you go out and buy a ticket, even if you go out and buy 10 tickets, the odds of you winning a lottery for $300 million is whatever, 1 in 300 million, or whatever the case is. So while winning the lottery might be an exciting fantasy, that there's a 1 in 300 million chance that you might win the big one, or a 1 in 25 million chance that you might win, maybe there's a state lottery. While that may be a fantasy, and it might be a fun fantasy, if you're planning out your future, you wouldn't stake your future on making $10 lottery payments each week. You wouldn't stake your future on making a $500 lottery payment each week, thinking you'd increase your odds by 50 times if you were to buy 500 tickets instead of 10. You wouldn't build your future on that. Well, in my opinion, when you look at one lone individual out of, let's say last year, a million people started a business, an information business, in your related niche arena. And one of those people was able to just be like everybody else, but maybe because, you know, I don't know, maybe the way they look, maybe the exact words they put on their sales page, maybe luck got involved, maybe they got a special interview that got them on TV, just something that happened to one person out of a million. If you look at that one person out of a million and you say, I'm just going to do what they did, the odds of you being able to have that one in a million experience, meaning that your face looks exactly like the winning face of the year and you know your words are exactly like the winning words of the year, because consumers are fickle. Those winning words of the year, they do change from year to year. You know, if you're counting on being lucky enough to get interviewed in a very specific place that creates this maelstrom of inquiries and media inquiries about you, let's face it, the odds of that happening to you are about as good as the odds of you winning that lottery. And just as you wouldn't stake your financial future on the lottery, I don't believe you should stake your financial future on hoping that if you just be just as good as everybody else in your market, that you'll be able to kind of eke out an existence. So for those reasons, I genuinely believe that if you're going to position yourself so that you can say, I am going to build a winning business this year, not I have a one in a million shot of building a winning business, not I'm hoping I'm going to build a winning business, I'm not going to eke out an existence online, but instead you can confidently say, I am going to build a winning business this year, I believe that you've got to position yourself as saying, I'm going to be better than all the competition, which means that you're going to be the best. And so as a result of that, rather than kind of using that long, drawn-out terminology, better than the competition, I'm going to feel free to use the word best. I want you to focus on being the best. Okay, so if you're going to design that winning business that's going to be the best, what do? I'm going to give you a quick overview, and then I'm going to dig into the details. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to start with customer needs and desires in your market. Once you know what those customer needs and desires are in your market, I believe the next thing that you want to do is ask the question, how can you solve that need? Okay? How can you solve that need? And then once you've determined how you can solve that need, now that I know how I can solve that need, what can I do to roll this out so as many people as possible are going to be able to learn from me? And then after that, it's just an exchange. I have this, and we put a price on it. You exchange your money for my training, my solution to your need, whatever the case is. So let's dig into that. Let's start with the first point, and that is you're going to start with your customer needs and desires in your market. You've got to find out what those are. You've got to find out what those are. And I'm amazed how many folks are in business selling a product or even a coaching program sometimes, but they may not even know what their customer needs and desires are. They know people will buy a training on XYZ topic, but they don't know what the needs and desires are. And if you fall in that category, it's okay, because many other people fall into that category. They don't desperately know what their client's desperate needs and desires are. But if you don't know, or if you know a little bit, I believe that if you're going to build that winning business, you've got to figure out what they are. You've got to find a way. And in everybody's niche, that may be different. Whatever it takes to find what those needs and desires are. It may take joining 5 of your competitors' programs, and because they have some level of access to everybody in the program, maybe they have forum access or they have telephone access or they have email access where you can kind of hear people asking questions, find out what those needs and desires are. You know, it may mean running some advertising not for the purpose of selling anything, but it may be for the purpose of just asking the question, what is your biggest need in whatever your marketplace is? So what is your biggest need in whatever your marketplace is? It may involve running that advertising. You know, a lot of times, you know, folks say, well, I'm going to run an advertising campaign and generate 3,000 visits to my website. I don't have much to sell, and I don't know what I would sell them, but I want to get them to my website, and maybe they'll buy something. What if instead you were to say, I'm going to drive 3,000 visits to my website for the sheer purpose of finding out what do they want? What do they want? And then asking them, once you find out what they once they're there, asking them, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want in this industry? Whatever it is that you're looking for, you have a problem or you wouldn't have typed this into the search engine. What do you want? What are your greatest needs? What are your greatest desires? What needs do you have that nobody else is fulfilling? Okay? You can ask the question, what are your competitors doing right? Go in and find out what your competitors are doing right. And folks, that may mean investing in your competitors' programs. You know, it's amazing to me how many folks will go out there and they'll look at 5 competitors' websites and hope the website will tell them what it is that their competitors are really doing. 95% of what your competitors are doing is after someone joins the program. The website is window dressing. The sales page is just what happens on the front end. If you really want to know what your competitors are doing right, buy into their programs. I'm serious. Whatever niche you're in, you've got 5 competitors, enroll in all 5 programs, show up on all 5 coaching calls, and take notes. What is Johnny doing right? What is Mike doing right? What is Mark doing right? What is Joanne doing right? What is Mary doing right? Write all those things down. And then ask yourself, out of all the things these folks are doing right, what are they missing the boat on? What are they doing wrong? What are they missing out on? And this sounds like a lot of work, and it is. It's market research. If you're going to build a best business, if you're going to build a winning business, if you're going to build a business that's going to take the world by storm, I believe you've got to do a little bit of market research. And this is, to me, this is compared to what some of the big companies these days are doing, you know, having 1,000 people do surveys and, you know, go into towns and literally set up shop in a particular town and interview 1,000 people personally and talk with them and take their products out and have them try them out and ask them questions. And this is a small price to pay. You can do this today, 90 days from now. You'll know what your competitors are doing. You'll know what they're doing right, but if you'll really immerse yourself into the programs, you'll know what they're doing wrong. And here's the thing. If all you were to do is take out a sheet of paper and write down everything they're doing right and everything they're doing wrong, everything they're doing right, you want to put in your program, right? But in addition to everything they're doing right, you want to put do everything they're doing wrong, you want to do it right as well. You want to say, you know what, that company is not teaching people about X. That's what you need to do. This other company is not communicating. This other company doesn't have good customer service. This other company doesn't really care. That's when you can go in and you can say, okay, how can I tackle this weakness in the marketplace? And then, by the way, you may not necessarily need to do all the things they're doing wrong right. You may just pick one of those things, and you could become the leader in the marketplace. Now, if we're looking at being best, and you've identified that all of these companies are each doing one thing wrong, why not do them all right? Why not make yourself practically impervious to competition? Because if you go in and you say, well, all I've got to do is do this one thing and I'll steal all the business from my competitors, but you leave four things undone, you leave yourself open to attack. You leave yourself open to attack by somebody else that comes along next year and says, I'm going to do one more thing right and steal all your business from you. You know, and the way to make yourself impervious to attack is to go in there and simply be proactive, do everything your competition is doing right, identify everything they're doing wrong, and say, you know what, we're going to do all of these things right as well. You will be able to say about your business, we are the premier service provider in this industry. Now, if you're able to say, we are the premier service provider in this industry, what can you normally do? You can normally charge more, or if you charge the same price, you really make it easy to gain more customers, or you can charge more. People will join you because you are the premier organization. Think about this. When you're looking for coaching, when you want to work with somebody that's going to teach you, do you go out looking for the person that's just like everybody else? Or do you go looking for the very, very best that you can afford? You know, my guess is you look for the very best that you can afford. You're probably not looking for, we're talking about information marketing here. If you're wanting to learn how to drive more, let's say, social media traffic, do you want to just go find somebody ho-hum that's barely making a living and say, hey, can you help me eke out an existence driving social media traffic? Or would you rather say, you know, I'm going to find the person that drives more social media traffic in the whole wide world than anybody else because I think they're doing it right. And my guess is, folks, you want to work with the best. The truth of the matter is, you're a human and I'm a human. We both want to work with the best. Your prospects are exactly the same way. They want to work with the best. And when you position yourself as the best, that's who they want to work with. We really want to dig into this with your customer needs. What do the people in your industry need? And if you don't know, you've got to do the research. And I believe the research is probably going to have to go deeper than a few internet searches. I think you really got to dig in. Find out where your prospective customers are hanging out. Where are they hanging out online? And begin having conversations with them, whether that's in forums. Sometimes I've heard something along the lines of, well, there's some forums out there, but it's really hard to break into them. Well, do what it takes. Everybody else has broken into them. Do what it takes to break into them. It may mean 90 days of helping out on the forum. It may mean volunteering to be a moderator. You know, it may mean paying to join the forum at a higher level. You know, whatever it takes to break in, if that's what it takes to be able to get the knowledge that you need to find out what the desires are. And then, you know, we kind of talked about this, kind of dropped it, the hint about it earlier, but a great way to find out what your prospects need is to simply run an advertising campaign, get 3,000 visits, get 1,000 subscribers, and don't try to sell them anything. Just send them an email that says, hey, thank you so much for joining my list. I understand you're interested in X, Y, and Z. Why me? Why are you reading this email right now? What challenges do you have that nobody else has been able to answer for you? What problems do you have right now that you just can't find an answer to? And if only 10 of those 1,000 people come back and tell you what their problem is that nobody else on earth has an answer to, you've well made back your investment in those 1,000. You may have invested $5,000 to get those subscribers. Just those 10 answers, you will have made back your investment in knowing that, because those 10 answers or 20 answers or whatever it is, those answers will tell you what the unmet needs in your market are. And when you know those unmet needs, if you'll build your business around those unmet needs, well, there you go. The next question is, how do you solve that need? So you've identified what the need is. How do you solve it? Well, in every case, it's going to be different. It really is. Because, you know, in this industry, it's really easy. And, you know, I do this to simplify. Folks come to me, you know, a lot of times when people come to me, they know what their needs are. And so they say, how can I package this up? And so I've made it so easy by teaching. Well, it's an easy way to package it up. 5 hours of training, 10 hours of training, you know, 3 months of training, you know, 100 hours in a membership. Those are the easy, easy, easy answers. And they're a starting point. But realistically, your customer doesn't need 5 hours of training. They may need 4 or 6. Your customer may not need 3 months of training. They may need 2.5 or 3.5. The key here is you take what that customer need is and ask yourself, how do I solve it? What does this prospect need that I know how to do? What do they need? Do they need to learn X, Y, and Z? Do they need to implement X, Y, and Z? Do they need to do this, this, and this? What do they need to do that? You may need to draw this out on 25 sheets of paper and say, they need to do this. They need to answer this question. You know, they need to, maybe I need to create a homework assignment that, or a survey type of thing that has them answer some questions that once they've answered the questions, they'll be able to solve their need more readily. Maybe it means, you know, you need to deliver this amount of training. And when I'm thinking of this amount of training, I'm not thinking hours. I'm thinking about the volume of knowledge. So, for example, you're listening to me right now. This is a training. Now, it is irrelevant whether this training is 20 minutes long or this training is 2 hours long. And right now, you may not know how long this training is. It's irrelevant whether this training is 20 minutes or 2 hours. What's relevant is that as I'm doing this training, I am giving you everything that you need to know so that at the end of this training, you'll be able to go take action. You'll know exactly what to do and how to do it relative to what it is that I'm teaching you. You want to do exactly the same thing. And so instead of thinking about a product in terms of I'm going to create a 7-hour training, you can think of I'm going to teach people these 7 topics. I'm going to teach them fully to the best of my ability. And that may be 5 hours, that may be 7 hours, that may be 9 hours. Or you may look at your customer's needs and you may say, you know what, this need is not one that can be easily taken care of with audio. So this is audio. And what I'm teaching you right now, as long as you've got both your ears open and you're taking notes and you're in this business so you have some idea of the vernacular that I'm using, audio is a great way to present this. And in fact, I believe that for anything that audio can be is a great way to present it, audio should be the way that it's presented. And here's why, folks. If you use video for things that audio could suffice, video is harder to consume, maybe more fun to consume. Your clients might say, I'd like for you to create video. If you don't need to create video, the audio is easier for folks to consume. And here's why. Because folks can listen to an audio while they're driving down the road. They can't watch a video, or hopefully they're not watching a video driving down the road. Your clients, if they have, you know, the waterproof headset, they can listen to your training while they are in the shower with their eyes closed. But they can't do that and watch a video. Your client can make dinner and listen to the sound of your voice, but they can't watch a video. Your client can be at work doing whatever work that they're tasked to do each day, and they can be listening to you instead of listening to the latest modern music. They can be listening to you, and their boss doesn't know the difference between they're listening to you or they're listening to the modern music. But because they're listening to you, they're getting more experience, and maybe they're even becoming a better employee as a result of listening to you. But they can't watch the video. And so while video is cute, while, you know, folks like the idea of video, if you can deliver something in audio, I believe you should deliver in audio, because people can listen to it. They will consume it at a much deeper rate. Okay, now, having said that, maybe you're in something that requires video. Maybe you teach swimming or karate or cooking, and you just absolutely have to show what it is. Well, then in that case, then you'll use video. You ask yourself, what's the client need? And if the client has this need, what's the best way for me to be able to teach this particular information? And by the way, on the video topic, if you've got a lot of clients, boy, I really, really want video, here's what you can do. You can create video for the small parts of your business that really could use some video showing folks, but then 80 or 90 or 95% of everything you deliver is still audio. They're still able to listen, but they're able to get their fix by being able to see your face on a particular video. So you could create a program that has a video introduction to it, maybe a video tour of what the training's going to do, but then when the actual training happens, it's audio. Or, you know, maybe solving your prospect's needs is actually better with print. So if you're in an area where print works better. And by the way, I want you to be careful to differentiate between print working better and clients claiming they want print. Here's what I've discovered in the past, is if you give a client the print version of, let's say, a 60-minute audio where they have to listen and take notes and be completely engaged, they'll tell you they want the print version. You give them the print version. What happens is not everybody, so this is an average across the board. If you're out to change as many people's lives as possible, you sort of have to think about average across the board a little bit. The average person will skim over that, take one or two or three quick points, get 5 minutes worth of information out of your 60 minutes worth of training, think they know everything that you taught, but they don't. And what happens is, folks, it doesn't show up right away. But if you look at your client base 6 months or a year from now, if you were to split test, half the clients were reading your material and half the clients were listening and getting actively engaged, I can almost guarantee you that those clients that were actively engaged are going to have many more times the level of success. And if you're in the business, not just of selling paper, and just selling the sound of your voice, that if you're in the business of changing lives, I believe you've really got to think about what medium do I use to solve my clients' needs in such a way that 6 months from now, 12 months from now, their life is genuinely changed. And some of you may still be kind of thinking, well, I'd rather read. And I would suggest to you this. Let me ask you this. And this is a common problem. You know, I fight with my weight. You know, I gain a few pounds, and then I have to not eat as much, or I have to go work out more. I've been overweight before and had to cut it all off, and it's hard work, okay? And so for everybody that you've experienced that before, and many of you have probably experienced something like what I have, you may have found that if you were to purchase a book on the topic of losing weight and read it from cover to cover, you'd get the exact information that you would get if you went to a 13-week weight loss support group. Exactly the same information is in the book, but at the end of 13 weeks, have you lost more weight by just reading the information and hoping and dreaming the fat will come off, or do you lose more weight by actively getting out there and working out with a few people and kind of sharing notes on what you're eating, et cetera, et cetera? Most people tend to respond better to that higher level of energy expenditure and time involved in whatever it is. And I've obviously pulled weight loss out there because it's something that I've dealt with, and it's a kind of a common problem across the board for folks. And so it's easy for many people to be able to relate to. Now, if you've never had that problem, think about some of your friends maybe that have had that problem. Maybe you've even gone so far as to buy a book for them. Hey, here's a book that'll help you out with your problem. And you know what? Maybe it's not weight. You know, maybe it's relationships. You know, maybe it's learning a new hobby. Maybe you bought them a book as a present, and they read the book. And you asked them, how'd that book come out for you? Well, it was great. It was a great book. Thank you very much. But a year from now, there's no change in their life. But if you were to take that friend and you were to say, you know, I notice you're having a really hard time communicating with people. Can I spend an hour a week with you and kind of help you out? And if they'll take you up on it, if they're not too offended, and they take you up on it, and you spend an hour a week with them for a year, their life is probably going to be changed. Well, sort of the same thing. If everything that you do is just print, and folks skim it and scan it, they don't tend to get as much value out of it in the long run as if you're creating an hour-a-week training, and they're listening to it, they're engaged, they're taking notes, they're reviewing the notes, they're listening to it later in the week, and then at the end of the year, then they're generally going to have more trackable results. And if you're in the business of designing a winning business, one of your number one goals is trackable results. You want folks to have results. And by the way, I'm not saying that we don't want to do anything in print. Print is an excellent way to engage folks. You know, when somebody's in a search engine, they're not looking for an hour training. They're looking for a 30-second reading. So the reading tends to be something that's introductory. Reading allows you to harvest folks from the search engines. Reading allows you to send out an email. You know, if you're sending out an email, you've bought a mailing to somebody else's list, you probably aren't sending out a 60-minute audio. You're probably sending out a 2-minute written piece. There's certainly a place for writing. There's a place to write a book or two or three for credibility's sake. There's a place to have written content and a lot of written content on your website, but that is there for multiple reasons. Obviously, credibility is one of those. Obviously, there's a learning element. There's an attraction element that happens online. You're attracting people that have needs, especially through the search engine, through referrals, et cetera, to that print medium. But for the bulk of the teaching, you really want to ask yourself, what's the best way to get all of this information across? So instead of thinking, how many hours of product do I need to create, instead ask, how many hours will it take to teach it? So you sit down and you say, you know, whatever my niche is, I'm going to teach folks to do this, 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 and this. And then if you write out everything you need to teach them in order for them to do that, then you'll say, okay, it's going to take us 3 hours to teach this topic. It'll take an hour and a half to teach this topic. It'll take 2 hours to teach this topic. You add it all up and you say, that's going to be a 7.5-hour training. Notice the difference here is not that I'm saying we're going to create a 7.5-hour training. What do we fill it up with? We're asking, what do I need to teach, and then how long will it take me to teach it? Same thing with a coaching program. You know, as you're going through, you say, well, in order for me to be able to meet the needs of my clients and prospects, in order for me to meet the needs of my clients and prospects, I need to do more than just give them something to listen to. Maybe I need to give them some way to interact with me. Maybe I need to give them a way that they have a weekly commitment to meeting with me and sharing. Maybe I need to have a weekly place where they can ask questions. And if that's the case, you may consider having a coaching program or some kind of membership that includes some type of access. So instead of thinking at the front, you know, I definitely have to have a coaching program because Sean said so, instead you'll say, do I need a coaching program? Now, in my experience, almost anything that you teach that people learn from, you know, we kind of talked about how people don't learn as much from print, they learn more from audio, and then in theory, they learn more from video. Because the reason they learn more from audio is because they're more engaged. They're listening for the full 60 minutes. They're taking notes. Their mind is fully engaged. Video actually increases engagement. And so I believe in the short run, video actually increases their retention. But remember, the reason we don't want to use video if we're doing lots and lots of training is we can use a little bit of video. If we use all video, what we find is that people just don't watch as much of it. So even though a one-hour dose of video might be better than a one-hour dose of audio, if someone needs to consume 40 hours of your wisdom, they'll get far more out of actually listening to 40 hours of your audio while they're going about their day, or only watching 5 hours of your video because that's all they can squeeze in. And so, you know, once again, we look at print, then audio, then video as being a stair step for how engaged folks are and therefore how much results. Coaching is the next level. Coaching, folks are meeting you in a live environment. That's kind of the next level. It's sort of like having a weight loss support group or, you know, a relationship support group. You can learn it in the book. You can watch a video or a seminar. But if you physically show up somewhere for an hour, and if you think about it, a coaching program online, you're physically showing up. You know, you may not be physically there with each other physically, but you're all on the exact same line in today's virtual environment. It's almost the same as sitting in that room together. You're all right there together. Your client is going to get more benefit out of the exact same information if there's some of that interaction back and forth. Okay? And so in most cases, if it's something that can be taught via print, people will get more out of audio. They'll get more out of video in the short run, but in the long run, they'll get more out of the audio. And then finally, if they'll get something out of all of those, they'll get even more out of coaching. And therefore, I believe almost everybody in the information business needs a coaching program. But we don't want to do it just because I said so, just because your competition has it, just because I said most people need it. You want to ask yourself, after people have consumed your audio training, you want to do a post purchase survey that says, hey, how'd you like the training? How did it go for? How did it go? What was the very best part about it? What do you feel like is missing from it? What are you still struggling with? What'll happen is you'll find that people will come back and they will tell you they're still struggling with this, 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 and this. When you go back to the drawing board, you have two options. You can say, can I create another product that will solve whatever problem they're still struggling with? Or can I add it to the existing product so that future folks don't encounter that? Or do they, what they really need is a little bit of contact with me? Do they need to be able to ask some questions? Do they need to have someone to say, look, John, you agreed last week to do this in your business, and here you are this week, and you haven't done it. I'm holding you accountable. Do they need that? And if so, then maybe you'll create a higher-level program that has a price commensurate with working personally with you as opposed to just hearing your voice in an audio setting. A lot of times folks ask me, well, how long should my coaching program be? And usually I have a prepared response for that. The truth of the matter is your coaching program should be as long or as short as is necessary to teach folks whatever it is that you're supposed to teach them. If you'd agreed to teach someone something that normally takes 10 weeks to teach, an hour a week, well, that should probably be a 10-week program. Maybe 12 weeks, put an introduction and a closing on the end. Maybe that's a 12-week program. If your material, you only need 3 weeks to teach it, that should be a 3-week program. You know, I counsel against, especially if you're first starting out with coaching programs, having a long coaching program. You 6 months, a year, right off the bat. You know, sometimes maybe I'll ask a client, well, how long would it take you to teach that? And they might say a year. I might ask, could we break this down into four different things? I mean, are you really teaching the same thing for 52 weeks? And they might say, well, no, there's four components. There's this component. I might say, you know, it'd probably be better if you were to do a 12-week program on that component. And then when they finish that component, there's another 12-week program. Now, if you've been coaching for a long time, you have clients that have been through one of your programs, hey, maybe then you open up a year-long program. And by the way, here's why. We find that just as you and I, we have waxing and waning levels of interest in whatever it is that we're doing. Okay? So, you know, today we're really excited about, you know, working out and getting strong. 3 months from now, not so excited. Today, we're really excited about losing some weight. 3 months from now, not so excited. You know, right now, we're really excited about, you know, creating a new training program. You know, we slog through it. We finally get it done. 3 months from now, we're not so excited about creating the next one. The thing is, in a year, a lot of things can change in someone's life. And what we find is that vacations pull people away. They do your program. They get to 13th week, 15th week. They take a two-week vacation. They come back. They're behind. They quit. So with a year-long program, you find a lot more quitters, and not because they're quitters by nature, but because something comes up in their life that that they cannot overcome, and they just they get behind and they quit. Whereas if you do 12-week segments, if they get behind by a couple of weeks, you can kind of push them a little bit. Maybe they can go over a little bit. They're still able to complete the material. And then if they're still interested, then they can take your next 12-week program. Once again, we go back to what's missing from the way other people do it. Another thing that you can do if you've been in business for a long time and is to look at your own business and say, what's missing in my own business? What's missing in my business? You know, I've done that in my business in the past where I go in, I create the very best training that I know how to create on a particular topic, and maybe after 100 people go through the program and 10 of them tell me what wonderful program it was and what worked for them, and 10 other people tell me, hey, it was a good program, but I didn't like that it didn't have this, I didn't like that it didn't have that, I can reevaluate and say, you know, if I were to create a new program or change this program, could I address some of those issues and make it a better program? And so you can do that with your business as well. You can ask yourself, how can I create a better program? If you're just starting out, look at your competition's program and ask, how can I make my program better than theirs? Okay. And by the way, this is not about competing with your competition. And if you've been following me for a long time, you know I don't talk about the competition much. I really believe you should stand on your own. I really do. But standing on your own, I believe that you should be the best. And when you're the best, you're not competing with anybody else. They're all competing with you. And so when I don't talk about the competition, I'm not talking about them because I assume you want to be the best. And if you are the best, you are the competition. And they, you know, you're the solid leader, and they are attempting to compete against you. But I believe that there is a place, especially when you're getting started, especially when you're trying to get better, that you're not looking at the competition just to see if you're doing okay. You're looking at the competition to say, what are they doing wrong that I can do much better at? Okay, so it's not an idea of, you know, just trying to best the competition. It's not, you know, how much are they charging so I can charge a dollar less. You know, it's not for some satisfaction of being better than them. Instead, it's I want to be the very best in the whole wide world for my clients. And if you're just getting started, you don't have a baseline, a great place to start is the competition. Perhaps. I want to give you one more option here as a perhaps. Perhaps you've been in business for a long time, and you've created multiple products. You know, maybe you've created 200 hours worth of training. You know, and by the way, folks, you know, if you're just starting out in your business and you've committed 20 hours a week for the next year to your business, if you were to just spend 4 of those 20 hours, just 20% of your week, just 4 of those 20 hours recording new training, at the end of 1 year, you would have 200 hours of training. You know, maybe you have 200 hours worth of training, and you say, you know, I think I'm in a position now to do something none of my competition is doing. I'm going to create a membership that allows people, as long as they're making a monthly payment, that they can have access to all my training or to 100 hours of it. And then I'm going to reserve some things for standalone product. I'm going to reserve some things to a coaching program, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're in a position where you have 400 hours of training. Say, I'm going to put 300 hours into a membership. We're going to have maybe a monthly price on it. And again, folks, I don't talk a lot about memberships because, you know, so many folks that come to me, you know, they may have a business with a coaching program and they don't have any products. We're focusing on getting some products out there. You know, or maybe you come to me and you got a product or two, you need to add a coaching. We're focusing on that. But a year down the road, maybe you're at that place right now. You've been working with me for a while. You've been working with somebody else for a while. You've got 200, 300, 400 hours worth of training. Maybe it's time to put it all out there in a membership. Membership so folks only get access to it for, you know, hey, as long as they're involved. And sometimes that can be a really good option because then folks don't have to buy this product, that product, that product piecemeal. They're able to, hey, there's a membership and they're able to invest. You have to ask yourself, is that the best way for folks to learn from me? Is it better to meter it out in a product? And all the niches may be different. You have to decide for yourself what's best. Now, if you create a membership, should you just throw everything in there in an unorganized fashion, or should you say, you know, there's 12 components here. We may have 200 hours, but this is track one. I really advise you do this first. This is track two. Or maybe you have an introduction that says, if you're the kind of person that needs this, start at track three or section three or module three. Maybe you divide it into modules, 20 modules, 10 hours of training each one. You name the modules. You have an introductory video that introduces it and says, hey, congratulations for joining the membership. By the way, just want to let you know a little bit about how the membership works. You know, obviously there's 394 hours of training in here, and if you're like me, you don't have 394 hours. And so what you've got to do is you've got to go through and you've got to study the things that are critical for you. And so the way I've designed this is there's 20 individual topics. What I recommend is that you go to the topic that you need the most today and listen to the first 2 or 3 hours worth of training. Evaluate yourself after the first 2 or 3 hours worth of training and say, hey, do I need more on this topic or should I move to another topic? Or maybe you set it up and you say, there's 4 types of people who buy my membership. There are beginners, there are intermediate, there's advanced, and there's, you know, people that are jacks of all trades type of people. And maybe you have an intro video for each person. If you're the beginner person, you know, your video says, I advise you folks, you start in module 1, go from beginning to end. Go to module 2, go from beginning to end. Maybe you say it's an intermediate person, and you say, you know, I'd really like you to get the basics. That's module 1. Once you have module 1, though, you can skip to module 5 because you probably already have modules 2, 3, and 4 in place. If you do, you don't need to train them. You know, it's kind of like if, let's say you take karate for 3 years, and I don't know how the belts work, but let's say you have a green belt, a blue belt, and a white belt. And then you move towns, you have to find a new sensei to teach you karate. Well, when you come in, the very first thing he's probably going to want to do is find out what you know. And he's going to go, oh, you know the green belt, you know the blue belt, you know the white belt. And so he says, we don't need to reteach all of that, but there's a few things we do different here. So we'd like you to go through our introductory class. I'd like you to come to our introductory class for 1 month just so you can learn how we do things differently. But once you pass the introductory class, we're going to skip green belt, blue belt, and white belt. We're going to start you on your red belt or your yellow belt or however they run. Okay? It's the same way in your program. When somebody comes into your membership, you want to give them a choice. Do you start at the beginning, or do you say, okay, you need to kind of move to this next level, or maybe it's an advanced individual. Then you say, if you're advanced, you watch this training video. You watch this training video. It says, here's the foundation pieces that you need to have in place. I recommend that you listen to Module 1, Track 1, Module 2, Track 7, Module 3, Track 4, Module 4, Track 9, and then I advise that you start in Module 5 and just go all the way through because that's what you need. Notice, and by the way, folks, please don't take what I'm giving you and just say, oh, that sounds like a great way to do it. I'm going to create 4 levels, 20 modules, 10 hours a module. I'm going to have a video that has an introductory that tells them just what Sean just did, and I'm going to have – please don't do that. It's not going to do you any benefit. The best way to do this is to look at your client's needs and ask, what would I load into the membership and in what way? You may go through and say, you know, the best way for somebody to learn from me is to have all these modules, but in addition to the modules, they get a weekly motivational training from me that is layered on top of all the modules. Or maybe there's another topic in your niche that people really need to have. And so maybe you have 2 tracks that are layered on top of all of the modules. But I can't cookie cutter that for you. You have to say, what do my clients need, and then build that membership according to those needs. So just to reiterate, I believe that you should want to be the best. And I believe I've made a valid case for you wanting to be the very best in your niche. And obviously, if you come onto this training already wanting to be the best, excellent. If you come onto this training thinking it'd be okay to be number 2, number 3, number 5, you know, just to eke by, I'll be honest with you, I hope that I have laid out a compelling argument, a compelling persuasive argument that you really should position yourself as being the very best that you can and that it will benefit you the most in the future. All right, let me just kind of take a look at my notes here, make sure I've covered everything for you. There's a few more things I may want to share with you here. I just want to reiterate this idea that there's no one-size-fits-all, that everything I've given you today Everything that I've given you today, if you just copycat, cookie cutter what I've just given you and just slam it into your prospects, you're probably not going to get the same results as if you go through the entire process, find out what they really need, and figure out how to give it to them in the best way that's going to work for them. Okay? Sometimes folks may ask, well, you know, how creative can I get in terms of just being totally different than what everybody else is doing? And that's kind of a dangerous place to go because obviously we don't want you just doing it the way everybody else is doing it just because that's the way that they're doing it. But when you study and evaluate it, if the way everybody else is doing it really is the best way, but there's 8 tweaks you can make, I think you're far better off going with kind of the tried and true proven wheel. So, for example, a weekly audio training or a weekly video training or a membership or, you know, something along those lines, and then say, how can I make this even better? What can I add to it? Okay. Rather than saying, you know what, I just want to totally reinvent things. I'm just starting out. I don't know what's going on in my industry, but I want to just totally start from scratch. There's a place for that, and sometimes that works really well, so I don't want to throw too much water on it. But I do want to say that if you're going to go a more creative route, you want to try to keep things as simple as possible. Sometimes what happens when we try to get really creative is we make things more complex than they need to be. And what we don't want to do is make things more complex than they need to be. And so sometimes we might say we want to have a mix of what's been done before, products, print, audio, video, membership, coaching program, but add some creative elements in, add some creative colors in, add some creative language in, add some creative ideas in, and then ask yourself, how can we keep all of this really, 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 really simple? Okay, so just a quick review. We want to start with customer needs and desires in your market. Do whatever it takes, obviously legally and ethically, morally, do whatever it takes to find out what those needs and desires are at a core level. Determine how you can solve that need. How is whatever you're teaching going to be able to change someone's life? The goal is to change someone's life, not just to rehashed information. It's about changing lives. And then the final step is, how do I deliver it in such a way that it genuinely changes lives? And so now your next step is to take this out there, run with it, do with it, make it happen, and